Councilman Corley.
Back in the 50s and 60s, people in the urban areas were all leaving and they all wanted to come to Warwick. We had what people thought to be schools that they desired their children to attend, and that was something that Warwick was known for statewide. Today we have lots of challenges, and I've heard lots of things said about state aid. I agree. I understand that it's not fair. I understand that 75% of it goes to four communities. And that is something that we need to work together to talk about in the future. We're sitting here trying to come up with a budget that has to be done within the next 3 or 4 days. So looking to the state for the fix on that is not going to happen. What is going to happen is that we have to be able to find a budget that we can propose and that the taxpayers are going to support. I notice in the documents that you submit to us, you talk about a community support request. That makes it sound like the community is seeking to support this request. What it really is, it is our attempt to have the taxpayers support this by being the ones that are going to bear the bill, and they are. The taxpayers are the ones that are going to bear the bill. And I believe that perhaps if we were to elevate the level of our conversation and we were to be able to cooperate in the way that was mentioned at the beginning of your presentation, we could present a picture for the taxpayers that I believe want to support education. I want to support education. I want to drive on roads that don't rattle my car every time I go anywhere in this city, as does every other taxpayer. There are lots of things that the people in Warwick will be willing to support. I do not believe that they really want to get into the middle of a long, drawn-out battle between two different parts of the city government, the schools and the city council and the city side of the administration. I don't know that how many people in Warwick know that the school department does not have a bank account, that the only bank account that the city of Warwick has is run by the city administration. That's where all of the money is in this city, and that every time you have a bill, you have to process it through the city finance department. It was news to me when I first learned of it. And you have your own accounting system because I understand the Department of Education mandates that you follow the accounting system that the school department has. And the city side of government has a different accounting system. That is something we need to work on in the future because we can't have one side of our government that is approximately, you can break the numbers any way you want, 54, 46, whatever. The two major parts of spending are the city and the schools. They should have the same accounting method because while I am not a numbers person, I would like to have a conversation with somebody that speaks the same language that I do, whether it's English and French, Italian and Spanish, both sides should understand. And we are not multilingual when it comes to our finances. They're just numbers. So I understand that, Mr. Ferrucci, you have all of your numbers and that's your system. I may agree with many comments that have been said that the administration may be top-heavy, but a lot of those things are items that need to be discussed in the future. What needs to be done this week is for us to be able to adopt a budget. I understand, looking at the numbers, that we were told tonight by the superintendent that next year Warwick's going to have 854 teachers. Did I get that number right?
Yes, sir.
And the 854 teachers, I assume that is a number that you came to with all of the layoff notices that have been sent out to date, or is it how did you arrive at that figure?
Sure. Right now in the budget for next year, even with the 8.1 ask, we have 46 less teachers. As you know, there are also 72 layoff notices. What that means is, should the budget not come in at 8.1 or 7.1 or 6.1 or even 4.1, let's say, the school committee has to meet again in June and July and figure out if any other areas warrant maybe reduction. For example, we have other areas that have been given layoff notices, so the school committee has to make a tough decision and think about would they want to go further in any other area.
So by law, the school committee has to notify teachers of a potential layoff by June 1st. So they have to make that decision and then potentially amend that decision after the June 1st deadline. So they were running up against that.
I'm well aware of the June 1st cutoff for sending off layoffs, and that is another state regulation that you have to follow. I don't know if the implied message by that is that the only way that you'll be able to find a way to adjust your numbers is to lay off more teachers. But it is not a pleasant thought, and it is not something that, you know, being on the city council, no one likes to try to adopt a budget if they feel like they have a gun to their head. And I understand the superintendent's answer when asked, what is it that you're looking for? And he says $8.1 million. I understand that. I understand that that is what he is seeking. I also understand that may be a number that may be contemplated in future litigation. If there's future litigation, so be it. You know, that's where it will be fought. However, it's not going to do any good for the city of Warwick. I know that. I know it's going to just bring us into more controversy and less community support. And I want to try to get the community to get behind this. I think that people will pay money for education if they can have some faith that the city is working together to try to help the kids. Not to provide jobs for people, but to help the kids. That's what the city was founded on. And I believe it's one of the things that makes us a great city. Right now, we probably have the highest percentage of citizens that are over age 65 than the city ever has. That's not going to last forever. And the people that are going to move in as that generation moves on are going to be younger people. And everything's cyclical. You can't look at everything as a snapshot. It evolves over time. But one thing that has not evolved in a positive way is communication within the city. We talk about it a little bit, but we, both sides, have not done enough to foster that. And I believe the people that have put us in this position want us to do that, and that is something that needs to be done. But we do have our short-term assignment, and our short-term assignment is to come up with a budget. In going through these items, there are some things that I just disagree with. I don't think that the transportation costs of moving sixth graders and closing the three elementary schools is going to approach $1 million. That's my personal opinion. I've heard what Mr. Ferrucci has said, and I think that that is something that is not required. I don't really understand the school committee's adding of $670,000 because they said that they should add that to the superintendent's recommended budget. I don't understand a lot of the figures that are contained on your expense summary because there are things that may have to be sacrificed rather than laying off more teachers to balance the budget. Perhaps some of these other items are things that are perhaps not as necessary as being able to put 854 teachers to take care of our students into the schools next year. So that all of these items, in my mind, are subject to negotiation. If the school department and school administration want to discuss that, I think that the council would be happy to hear it. And I would like to see us have a conversation and not an argument, and be able to do it in a way that is not offensive to either party. You have your role, we have ours, and one thing both of those roles should be is to move the level of discourse in the city of Warwick higher rather than lower, so that the people that put us in this position can feel faith that they're being led by people that are sensible and can come to an agreement for the best interests of the city.
Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, Superintendent, could you give me your definition of level of effort?
Could you say more about that? In terms of what?
I'm sorry?
In terms of what context?
In terms of the budget? Carullo Act. And referencing level of effort.
MOE, you mean? Maintenance
sorry?
Of effort?
Maintenance of effort.
Maintenance of effort.
Essentially, the law says that the level of funding schools had the previous year is their baseline for the following year.
Could you repeat that, please?
Sure. The law, as I understand it, says the level of funding from a previous year is the baseline funding level for a city or town for the following school year.
And your definition of basic educational plan?
The BEP is the state guideline or rule book on how schools are operated. That has changed quite a bit from the 1990s. In the 90s and 80s, it was a large tome. And it had strict ratios, things like for every 1,000 students you have, one librarian. Around 2009, RIDE redid it, made it about yay thick, and now they took out the strict quotas, if you will, and now they basically told districts, put in what you think is adequate and sufficient. So now if a library is not a quota of, say, you know, one per thousand, it's how many we think is necessary to run the district for library.
Thank you.
I'd like to move along to the public now. I know, I think all the council members have asked questions. If there are any members of the public that have questions, please step up to the mic.
Good evening. Stacia Heiler, Ward 9. I have a few questions, please, just for clarification purposes.
Sure.
For either Superintendent Thornton or Mr. Ferrucci, you said we have 854 teachers, and what was the total amount of students that we have? And then my second question is, what is adequate and sufficient when it comes to the teacher-student ratio? So where what do we need right now for the number of teachers? What do we need to maintain for teachers to match the number of students that we currently have? That's my
your first question. I understood the teacher number for next year is 854. You also wanted to know, I'm sorry? Students right now, next year, I believe we forecast, I said 8797, I believe. In terms of your other question, what's adequate and sufficient for staffing? That depends on what kind of class we're talking about. Is it an honors history class? Then maybe 10 or 12 is your number. Is it a freshman English class? Maybe 24, 25 is your number. Is it a grade 3 classroom? Maybe it's 23, 24. It really depends on what we're talking about. But right now, we believe 854 is the adequate number, provided that, I mentioned earlier to Mr. McAllister, we're watching five classrooms right now that may pop, I use the word pop, and get larger, then I'll have to add five more teachers this summer. So that could happen this summer.
Okay, so what I don't know if Superintendent Thornton can answer this question. So the previous mayor, Mayor Avedisian, when he was negotiating the new teacher contract, so getting back to, I just wanted to touch upon what some of the councilmen had said about wanting to support our schools. We all want, and you know, putting on the children, wanting to support the children. Trust me, we definitely want to support the children. What is hard to get behind is the process that we sit for people like myself that pay attention to that process of how things unfold. When you have teachers calling out sick to get what they want, and I know it's not going to be appreciated what I'm saying, but it's, in my opinion, it's the truth. When the public sees teachers calling out sick, taking sick outs and making kids miss school, and parents have to worry about if their kids are going to school, you see that process unfold to get their way, okay? And then you see these closed door negotiations go on, and then all of a sudden, voila, we have, you know, we're looking at 5.1 million, first it's 3 million, and then you look at retro pay, you know, the teachers weren't getting pay for a few years, and now, so now we're making up for all of this, I guess, disagreement that's been going on between the previous administration and today. And now we can't afford it. And we all knew that we've been talking about this for many years, that this day would come, and it's here. And we are also looking at, so taxpayers of Warwick have been paying 20 straight years of tax increases. The only reason why we didn't have a tax increase last year is because the city council made that happen with cuts. That's the only reason why that happened. So now we hear this conversation of, well, you know, what do you need? Well, we need $8 million. That's what we need. And we're not even on police, fire, and municipal union contracts yet. I'm still trying to figure, I'm wondering, do people actually care? Does that, you know, do the teachers union care? Does everybody care about what's going on here? And what are they willing to compromise? I don't know. I don't see that as a taxpayer. And trust me, I love children. I want the best for children. But do we all really want that? That's another point I'd like to make. And then we compare ourselves to Cranston. Okay? That's the difference between an actual conservative mayor in Cranston and a wannabe, I'm sorry, I have to say it, somebody that ran as a Republican that wasn't really conservative in Warwick for 20 years. That's the difference between Cranston and Warwick, in my opinion. You can see it in the numbers. So as far as what would happen, so we clearly don't have $8.1 million. We just don't have it. So what's going to happen if, let's be realistic here, we don't have the money. We just don't have it. So I'm not even sure, I don't know if you're going to do a maximum tax increase. Is that the next best thing? So we do that, and what, you're going to run more families and close down more businesses in Warwick? Because that's not going to work either. So can we go, so what happens if we go to court, the teachers, so you're in arbitration, what I believe it was two, we have two lawsuits with the firefighters right now. We're looking at a potential lawsuit with the teachers. So what happens if it does go to court? Can anyone answer this question?
No.
You can't answer that question?
We don't know what would happen.
You don't know what's going to happen. So as far as...
If I knew what was going to happen, I might buy a lottery ticket and solve everybody's problem, but I don't know what would happen in court. And I'm an attorney. We can guess, but we don't know what would happen.
We can't.
And it's not an enviable position to be in, and I certainly concur with your thought process about where we are.
You know, because I'm here. I know a lot of people like to show up here when they want something, but no one is coming to these city council meetings, every single city council meeting, and is dedicated and listens to what is going on in the city, because I it's just my personal opinion. People only really care about themselves. That's the bottom line. It's unfortunate. Okay? We're talking about really caring about children. Try showing up to a meeting when you don't want something. But, and I'm sorry, you know, it's hard not to get upset. It's because you watch it. I watch it closely. And it's hard not to just get very frustrated watching this all unfold and trying to figure out whether or not my husband and I want to stay in the city. I think about how am I going to take care of my senior parents that live over in Connecticut Point who rely on me as they age. This affects a lot of people's lives. Okay, you can't just say, if you don't like it, move. You know, that's the easy cop-out answer. This affects people's lives like you do not even understand. I don't think a lot of people understand it because they think money grows on trees. That's really what some people think, and it's really, truly unfortunate. So my next question is, so I believe it was, 71 teachers got, is that right? 71 teachers got pink slips. So how does this work? We have three schools closing down the elementary schools. And then what happens? You bring certain teachers back again for the next school year? And how many?
So, I mean, you know, I think the superintendent and some of the school committee members touched on this. Eventually, a budget is going to be passed by the city. And then we can only give them the money. We can't tell them how to spend it. So at the appropriate time, they would go back and make those decisions as they've made in previous years.
Which would have to come with layoffs. If they don't get what they need, they unfortunately
I'm sure they have a lot of choices.
Because I certainly cannot remember the last time we had layoffs on the city side of business. I don't think we ever have. And you've been here a lot longer.
Yep.
So, you know, you see that. You see the population decreasing. We can see that we used to have over 20,000 students. Now we're under 9. We just continue. We just lost, another 175 in 1 year. And don't say that's from the airport acquiring properties, okay? Because we've been seeing this trend going on for quite a long period of time. And it's not just airport property acquirement. It's really people just packing up and leaving, or you have an aging population. And unfortunately, more families are not wanting to move back into Warwick. It's not inviting to come here. I've seen it in my own neighborhood, 3 homes sold. My next door neighbors are a couple from California. The neighbors diagonally across the street from me, their kids are enrolled in private school. They don't go to Warwick Public School. And the couple down the street is from Texas. That's where they're from. They have no children. That's what I see moving into my neighborhood. And that concerns me too. Because people aren't, you look at Division Road when properties go up for sale on the border of East Greenwich and Warwick, The for sale signs say, you know, not Warwick Public Schools, East Greenwich Public Schools. They actually are specifically putting that on the for sale sign, okay? Because it's more inviting. They, you know, just so you know, it's not Warwick Schools, it's East Greenwich, and that's sad to see that. So, so if we're gonna really, you know, buckle down and really pick the school budget apart, we have to do the same thing with the city side of the budget. You have to do the same thing with the fire department and the municipal department. Okay, they require the same amount of scrutiny, for sure. I hope to see the same types of questions being asked by those departments when we're talking about what's adequate and sufficient. We know that there's a lot of inadequacies going on in other departments. So, that's it. I mean, we're all tired. I appreciate the time and thank you. But I just think it's really sad that we're in this situation and we know that we don't have the money. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. Thank you.
Thank you. Is anybody else here to speak?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Marianne McCurry and I have been here since 5 o'clock. Because I have a third grader in Warwick Schools who's going to be in Warwick Schools for at least another 5 years. That's why I'm here. So I just have a couple of random comments quickly that I just wanted to get out. I understand the difference between the maximum tax increase and what Dr. Thornton is asking for. And I understand why you all asked him to come back with his lowest number, hoping it would be lower than the 8.1 that he was asking for. But, you know, you also mentioned how it was irresponsible of the previous administration to say that the teachers could get the raise, but yet there's no funding for it, and he was going to, you know, the level funding issue. But I feel like, to defend Dr. Thornton, I feel like they've put all this work into this budget, and it would be completely financially irresponsible for him to then just say, oh, okay, well, all right, well, if the maximum that you can come up with is 6, then we'll just bump down to 6. Because then I would be thinking, well, then what happened to the other two? And so I understand why you asked him to reevaluate his number, but to ask him to do it on the spot just doesn't make any sense to me. So I just kind of wanted to put that out there. The two questions that were asked of the other departments was about, you know, was anybody getting a raise that wasn't contractual and wasn't STEP? And in looking at the expense summary, it looks like most of the increases are based on contract increases. You know, if you look through the transportation increase, the out-of-district tuition increase. So I do think that his expense summary list did hit a lot of those marks in terms of the... the contractual increases. So I do see that. You know, someone brought up Gorton and the administration remodel. Again, you know, I understand that that's kind of a thorn in the side, but how many times can we rehash that? And I just don't think it's productive conversation at this point to keep bringing that up. At some point, you just have to move on and go forward. I do agree with looking at the administration consolidation, which would not affect students. I think that the conversation about making cuts to the school budget that doesn't affect the students directly, someone over here on that side said that, and I liked when I heard that. And then I hear about the potential of a lawsuit. And so I vaguely recall seeing an ad about that. And my first thought was, you got to be kidding me. We just came out of 3 years of battle over the teacher's contract. The city cannot go through. The parents, the rest of the whole city cannot go through another lawsuit. You all have to do what you have to do so that does not happen. The students can't handle it, the parents can't handle it, and everyone in between.
Thank you. Is there anybody else here to speak on the school department budget?
My name is Gene Nato, Vice Chairman of the Warwick School Committee. Councilman Howe, you mentioned what could be done at the State House. 7.5 years ago in my first year, I made up a 5-page type to show what the schools were receiving from the state of Rhode Island. And I gave it to every council member, every House of Representatives, every senator, urging and begging. I used the word begging at that time. And in my handout, because it was so unfair, the monies that we were getting from the state, and it hasn't stopped yet. 5 years ago, when Cranston and Warwick was at the same amount of money, at 32.5, and now to see Cranston at over 60 and Warwick down to 36 shows you what has happened. But we have three intelligent workers up there at the State House for us at the present time. Representative McNamara, Representative Sakachi, and Senator McCaffrey. We have top three there working for the city of Warwick. But they have been unable to stop the reduction in the amount of money we get. When you look at that budget coming from the state and out of the amount that you mentioned was $860 million, something like that, that the state gives, over $100 million of that is for the charter schools. But when you divide the other that our chairwoman said, Beth Furtado, mentioned, when the city of Providence gets $260 million for their school system, when the city of Pawtucket gets 80-something million dollars, when the city of Central Falls gets $40 million and they don't pay a penny for schools in the city of Central Falls. Our taxpayers in Warwick pay $3 million towards their school. Woonsocket at almost $60 million. And here we are at 37. That's the unfairness. And nothing can change up at that State House, as far as I can see, in all of these years. It just is not possible. I've been up there testifying time and again to please do something for the city of Warwick. And I haven't been successful, and that's one of my regrets. In 2006, there was a bond issue of $25 million that was passed for the repair and rehabilitation of our schools here in Warwick. Of that $25 million, we had to pay out almost $10 million because of the fire in West Warwick to make changes to our schools, not for the repairs and rehabilitation that was there. So actually, in effect, we had $15 million of that bond issue in 2006 to do the work that we had planned. But of that $15 million, and this is what Section 7 says of that bond issue that was passed. It says this: the city shall annually appropriate a sum sufficient to pay the principal and interest coming due. That hasn't happened in Warwick. The city, the school department here in the city of Warwick pays the principal and interest. There are 14,000 school districts in the country. 14,000, not one of them of those school departments pay principal and interest to a bond issue issued by the cities in town. Not one. That right now is in that pot over there, the way you see the salary and benefits totaling nearly 86% of our budget. That $8 million that was asked is going to come out of that figures over there. But it totals out of that, we're paying $1,750,000 a year, principal and interest. The school department is going to be paying $30 million. $30 million out of our own money to do everything else in the schools and bring them up to shape. State of Rhode Island says, City of Warwick, you need $196 million to bring your schools into shape. So we made up a bond issue of $85 million. Because that was a five-year plan for each of our schools that would bring them up at least in good service for another 20 years. That was reduced to $40 million, and if the taxpayers in Warwick approve it in next November's election, then we'll have that to repair and rehabilitate. Then, a few years after, we'll have to go after the other $45 million. But that certainly is the cost of construction and repairs is certainly going to exceed that amount. So my point is, we have tried to do the best. We have worked hard hours on a school committee to do the right thing. And I think we have. So I just want to leave that, Mr. President, that, you know, we haven't received a pay increase in 64 years. The 4,000 in 63 is the same as in 2018, but we're not in it for the money. We're in it to help our beautiful students. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Dave Testa, school committee member, board president, parent of kids in the schools. I'll be very brief because it's late. First, I just want to address the issue of the former mayor being involved in the contract discussions and that somehow he crafted this deal. I sat in on those discussions for the better part of 3 or 4 months. I took personal vacation time to sit in on those sessions. He didn't craft anything. Okay, frankly, it's an insult to the people on both sides of the table who were working this deal out. This deal was mediated, and then we had put proposals up there. The union rejected them. They put some up. We rejected them. Then it went to arbitration. It was an arbitrator's decision that was the retro piece. Our position wasn't for retro. Never was. But the arbitrator's ruling was binding on us. It didn't bind us on the financials. We could have thrown that out if we wanted to, but that wouldn't have been fair. But I think to try to create some sort of a narrative that it's a byproduct of him is just wrong. As far as tax rates in Warwick and comparisons to Cranston, I grew up in Cranston. Most of my family still lives in Cranston. Cranston's property tax rate is 13% higher than Warwick's. City services are virtually identical. So when I hear about our taxes are way too high, well, I don't know, everything's relative. Okay, you can go to North Kingstown and pay a much lower property tax rate on a higher assessed house, but you don't get trash pickup. So again, everything is relative. Sticking on the Cranston theme, the differences between the two school systems is, number one, the FICA tax. Number two, the teacher steps are lower than ours. Number three, we run more buses than they do. Okay, so I did that analysis, and you run that all together. The net difference between us and Cranston is about $2.5 to $3 million. That's it. Okay, and Cranston has their own buses. Okay, I don't think schools should be in the transportation business. So that's capital expenditures, that's a whole bunch of other stuff that just about every other district has gotten out of, and I think for a good reason. Next to last point is we can't ignore the history of the funding. And I think, Council President, you kind of referenced to it at the beginning of the meeting where historically the schools have been in a tough jam. But we can't forget that in 2009 when the General Assembly said to cities and towns, you can cut your maintenance of effort 5%. We did. We were the only district to do that. We cut the full 5. And most districts that made any cut at all gave it all back in short order. We didn't. So you take an entity like a school department, whose allowance, for lack of a better word, gets cut, then what do? You keep cutting to live within your means. We've closed buildings, we've reduced staff, we've done all of that, but at some point it all catches up to you, and I think that's the point that we're at. Okay, we can nibble around the edges. We want to talk about administration positions and all this other stuff, and we did commission a study. A consultant came in, and some hay was made with this about over the last 25 years. Admin positions have increased 20%. Teaching positions has decreased 20%. But if you look at the numbers, the total admin positions over 25 years increase was 6. It's the law of big numbers. Okay, so again, we have to be careful with what percentages say. We got to look at what's behind those numbers as well. So. And the last thing, I hear about this exodus of people from Warwick, and yet every time real estate figures come out and home sales come out, there's not enough homes to be sold. And almost every home that's up for sale gets sold. And the reason why the houses on Division Road, the for sale signs that advertise East Greenwich schools, is because their schools have better results than ours. And that's what we need to be focusing on. If we increase the results, people will come. If they feel their schools are good. Last thing about Cranston, look at Cranston schools, they're on par with Warwick. You look at the state averages, we flip-flop. So their schools are no better than ours, or ours are no better than theirs. Okay? We like to believe our schools are. My kids have gotten fantastic educations here. Fantastic educations. So I would just say we need to focus on results, improving the results, and people will come. But people who move in, they may have one child or two, tops. Okay, the days of 3, 4, and 5 kids are gone. It's just simple demographics. And maybe Councilman Corley, we might have a large population of 65 and older. Life expectancy almost 80. There's another 15 years before we're going to start turning that over. Eventually it'll turn over, but you know, the days of 5 and 6 kids are just not going to happen. So thank you. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Anyone else here to speak?
Jim Harrison, teacher, parent, coach at Tollgate High School. This is my third time I've been to a budget meeting with the schools. And one of the things that always amazes me is the distrust that I see between the city council and the superintendent and Anthony, as Eugene likes to call them, those type of things. And what I want you to remember now is that they are going to come and they are going to ask you for things. Okay? So, this is my second year at Tollgate. Okay? When they tell you at Tollgate, Mr. Callister, well, you're my councilman, when they tell you that at Tollgate they need central air, they are telling you the truth. It's hot. Okay? My son is there. There's an inside room. We are commenting on it today. Okay? So when they come to you and they say, we need millions of dollars to provide central air at XYZ school, Tollgate, for instance, they are telling you the truth. My big thing is, as a coach, I would like to see field turf at Tollgate High School. I would like to see field turf at Pilgrim High School. Okay? One of the things that I was amazed at about Tollgate is that how all the students, athletes, seem to have to travel to many different places. I'm the field hockey coach at Tollgate. Mr. McAllister, do you know where the Tollgate field hockey team plays?
CCRI?
No, I know you know. I asked Mr. McAllister.
Because that's where my sister played in the 1970s.
In the 1970s.
That's what, at Tollgate.
At Tollgate, that's right. And I have made
this. And Mr. McAllister and I went to Tollgate, and we didn't have air conditioning. I remember that too.
At CCRI, right? And I've been told that's how it's always been done. Well, that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand how it's been done like that as long as it's been done. I have lived in Warwick since 1972. I'm a proud graduate of Warwick Vets, and I am amazed that that has been happening since 1972. Okay? My daughter is in the 6th grade. Okay? She plays soccer. Right? The soccer team has to go and practice sometimes at City Park. So, as a 9th grader, that is going to require my daughter, and this blows my mind, it happens on Family ID, and I have to sign off on it so she can play soccer, my daughter will have to get in an upperclassman's car and drive to City Park. That makes the safety of that is incredible. The lawsuit that the city of Warwick has, miraculously, has not happened. It blows my mind that this has been happening since 1972, and we have allowed it to happen. So I'm telling you, there's a need for it, okay? When they tell you they need things, there's a need for it. When they say the school's hot, it is hot. When they say that they need field turf at the schools, they need field turf at the schools, okay? I understand you have a fiduciary responsibility to me, the taxpayer. I understand that. I'm telling you, as a taxpayer of the city of Warwick, we need to spend more money to upgrade the facilities. We need to spend more money. This half $40 million, that, are you serious? Mr. NATO just said, $196. So why don't we just go to $100 million, right? We have not passed a bond in the city to improve the facilities since 2006. 2.5 of that, I could be mistaken, but 2.5 of that, which was left over, was used to build Pottawatomie Fire Station. I could be wrong. That wouldn't surprise me. No one in the city of Warwick or future residents of the city of Warwick drive by a fire station and go, wow, that's a nice fire station. What they do, though, is they drive up to the school. They look at the facility. And they're like, wow, that's a nice facility. Okay? That's a nice athletic complex. The school has AC. Right? These are things that we need. So I'm telling you that when Dr. Thornton or the next superintendent gets up here and says, we need these things, I want you to remember me. Because we do need these things. We need to upgrade the facilities at Warwick Schools. We need to pass a bond that upgrades the facilities at Warwick Schools. Right? You guys all seem to be kind of on the same page, but we need to get moving. All right? I can be honest with you, you've kind of missed the boat because interest rates were incredibly low, and now they're starting to go back up. You should have did this 2009, but you did. So here we are. So please, I'm begging you. I'm begging you for my little girl. When they say we need AC at Tollgate High School, they do. When they say we need to upgrade the athletic facilities at both high schools, we do. Okay? There's too many kids, particularly at Tollgate High School, driving around to various facilities to play sports. We need a major upgrade there. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
I
was just going to say,
talk forever.
I sponsored the bond referendum in 2006.
Thank you.
And it was $26 million, which included a lot of upgrades to the fields up there. And as Mr. NATO said, we had a station nightclub fire, and all these requirements came down from the state of Rhode Island. And I think Gene mentioned $10 million that we had earmarked to go towards Tollgate and the other facilities went elsewhere as a state mandate. The second issue that you talk about is, you know, why didn't we pass 85 compared to the 40 that we passed? What I can tell you is administrations have come and gone as the superintendent wasn't here back then when we were putting bond referendums in. But I can tell you that the forecasts that previous school departments have put out were inaccurate. So let me give you an example. Pottawamet, we built an all-purpose room. We got rid of asbestos. That was the fourth highest scoring elementary school in the state of Rhode Island. And 3 or 4 years later, it was gone. So to this day, we're paying principal and interest on a building that doesn't exist. So as a person that's seen waste, and that's one, go look at the other elementary schools that we added all-purpose rooms on that are closing, that we're paying principal and interest on. It wasn't Dr. Thornton's fault. It was previous administrations in the school department. But, you know, to imply that the council doesn't care about education, and doesn't compare about the facilities is inaccurate. We did put the money in there, and later on, those schools were closed. And in my opinion, it's because we're not doing 5, 10, and 15-year forecasts. And as a result, we're closing 3 more schools. How many of those schools have all-purpose rooms that we built that now we're going to be paying principal and interest on? You wonder where the air conditioning should have come from? You had that school department, whether they were there or not, had the money. But they guessed that those administrations didn't look at it properly. So as far as I'm concerned, I gave the money. I looked at that, but it's not fair that they closed those schools and that money didn't go into buildings or facilities at the football field. I mean, Bethany was the statistician at Tollgate when I was the quarterback. And before we had a football field in 1983, 1982, we used to take the bus over to Walk Vets to go play. And so it was wrong. I thought we should always have facilities. I believe now they're talking about doing a unified field again for the football team and having all the games under the lights. I don't know. So now the football team's going to move again. When you have a football field there, maybe that's your soccer field since they're going to move the football field over there. I don't agree with it. I think you should be able to go up there and play under the lights. How many times did the Boosters Club raise money to put lights up so you could have games at night? Right, Bethany?
I mean, one point to that. I understand what you're saying is, but they have closed school. I'm pretty sure we can plan out 5-10 years now that Tollgate High School will be open.
Right.
Correct.
And the testimony, just so you know, the testimony that Dr. Thornton gave said that it would be 4 to 5 years before they could spend the 80. We gave them 40. Come back and show us you're doing the right thing so history doesn't repeat itself. That's why we split it up. If we gave you the 80, it wouldn't have made a difference because you can't. He wouldn't have spent it over 5 years. I want to hold them accountable, so I don't see like people like you coming before me and saying, where did the money go? Because I know where it went last time, and it was misappropriated to buildings that we closed and knocked down. I don't want to see that happen again. I want to have my finger on the pulse of what's going on in the school department, and that's why this council took that action. But I appreciate your question. I hope I educated you a little bit.
Okay, thank you.
Hi.
Yes.
Jen Moffitt again. I had a couple of things I wanted to clarify. Somebody had mentioned earlier that Cranston doesn't have to pay Social Security tax, but we do. Why?
So my understanding was back some point in the 1970s, Tony, I believe, every city or town had to declare if they're going to pay or not, and that's how it worked in Rhode Island, and Cranston opted out.
And then my second question was, what was the reasoning behind not going to the TDI program instead of the 90-day sick day?
In the our process, our petition process, we actually, our proposal was that. It was, I believe, 18 sick days, TDI, a few more pieces. The arbiter took our position and the union's 90 and went with the 90. It was his ruling that was binding for the 90. You didn't want to keep their current practice. We offered the opposite, not opposite, a different one with TDI. On that one, it was binding, so he bound us and took the 90.
So I think that we can clarify that one of the reasons why there's so much distrust between the whole system is this kind of thing where we don't have any say in any of this. The union goes into these closed-door meetings, and they make all these decisions, and we as taxpayers essentially have no choice. And I guess, okay, we have an arbitrator, but who is this arbitrator working for? Are they working for the taxpayers? Because it doesn't seem like it ever works in the favor of the taxpayers. It seems like it always works in favor of the union. It's a very frustrating process. And I think we might need to look at how that works, because that seems to be a very frustrating process. Unfortunately, the reality is that these systems, whether it's the school, the fire department, all of these things are based on taxpayer money. It's the way that it is. It's reality. It stinks. Everybody wants to get paid what they're worth. We all do. I mean, I fight with it in nursing. We all deserve to get paid much more than we do, but we're at the mercy of state funding as well. We deal with the same issue. And the problem is that when you're dealing with taxpayer money, you're at the mercy of population that changes in the economy and all of that. And unfortunately, it's part of what you get into when you get into that type of profession. When you get into that profession, you have to understand that you're going to sometimes be at the mercy of real life. And it's sad, and it's frustrating, because I would love to pay everybody in the city what they deserve, but that's not reality. The reality is we have to work within the confines of what we have for taxpayer money. So I think it's important that everybody keep that in mind when we come to the table. It's frustrating, and people are going to have to make some concessions, and it's sad, but it is the way it is.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
My name is Scott Phillips. I'm from Ward 1, and I just wanted to come up and say that I've heard a lot about, it's for the kids and we care about education, and I think it's a lot of lip service, to be honest. Like, there are some new people in here, but a lot of you have all been in these chairs as the schools have deteriorated over the years, and I've been in Ward. I don't really completely trust the schools, so I get your point, but I don't really trust the city either, because as years have gone on, the city spent more on their side, and schools have gotten the same. You talk about the debt service that they're wasting. You mean the debt service they're paying on your buildings, right? City don't own the buildings. Why are they paying that? So I think that it's behind the debt service that they're paying. Maybe we should give that back to the city, and that'll help them knock down the 8.1. Why don't we have 80 million instead of 40? If you don't trust them, give them the 80 million and just hold the money until they make a good case for it. So the kids don't get that 40 million because you don't trust them.
No, I didn't say that. I said that the testimony was that it would take them, they have to release so much each year.
Yep.
And the bond referendums get passed every 2 years. Mm-hmm. So it's insignificant whether they had the 80 now, because they wouldn't be able to release it anyway. So what we're saying is they're going to come back in 2 years and give us a report as to what's going on, what's changed, if they're closing any other buildings. So we're not in a situation where we put all-purpose rooms on buildings that we close.
So if we really need, what is it, 126? You think in 2 years...
They asked for 80. 40? They asked for 80.
So you think in 2 years they'll come back and the other 80,000 million that's needed will be gone?
I'm just telling you what had happened in the past. Okay. And I would assume that we would agree that it's not a good idea to put money into buildings.
I agree. But your own councilman is saying it's cyclical, so that would mean more people were coming in, if that's the way you're looking at it.
I think if you do it in 2 year increments, mm-hmm. Based on their testimony, that would work.
I also hope in the nights that are coming up that you give the same amount of scrutiny to the other departments. I don't see that in the past. It's kind of laughable when you have someone like the sewer authority and you talk about making terrible decisions. I don't see people knocking on the sewer authority's door. I live near John Brown. They cut all these trees down. There's not one truck there. They're not doing anything. And we can't even know why. We haven't heard back what's going on with that. We know nothing. So when I see groups audit budgets on here that are $1 million over in salary and overtime, hopefully you'll land-base them the same way. When I see budgets that went up there today that have actuals of $700,000 last year and this year, but their budgets are $900,000 every year, no one asks why. I think communication needs to be better, but I also think the city side needs to be held to the same standards as the schools, and they're not.
Thank you. Okay. So I don't think we have any other speakers. I know that we have to make a motion to continue till tomorrow night at 5 p.m. So I have a motion to continue tomorrow night at 5 p.m. Councilman Lattisaw. Seconded by Councilman Howe. All those in favor? Aye. All those opposed? We stand adjourned till 5 p.m. tomorrow.